Hi, and welcome to Influential Introverts. I'm your host, Paul Juggins, a mindset mentor for sensitive female entrepreneurs, and I'm on a mission to empower more influential introverts like you to embody your true nature and stand out as a leader in your industry. Join me each week as I'll be interviewing empathic experts from around the world who'll be sharing their inspirational stories of personal transformation with you and how they use their sensitivity to thrive in an extrovert's world. Each week, you'll get to learn from thought leaders in mindset, personal development, entrepreneurship, spirituality, female empowerment, creativity, and conscious leadership, as well as much, much more. Throughout, I'll be teaching you some of my own mindset tools to help you gain powerful insights into your own identity and help you make friends with your fear so you can grow your heart-centered business feeling fully aligned with your soul mission. This show is for you if you're tired of swimming against the extroverted current and want the confidence to authentically express yourself and become a world-class entrepreneur on your own terms. So if this speaks to your heart, my friend, come and join us.
I think it's important for all of us as introverts to kind of have this rebel side to us. In other words, I choose not to conform.
In this episode, Carol Hampshire. For over 25 years, Carol has been branding startups as well as seven-figure female coaches and visionary leaders worldwide as a designer and brand coach. Carol is a true industry expert and one of the most sought-after specialists for heart-centered female coaches in the world right now. She truly embodies what it means to be an influential introvert. So in this episode, you're going to learn from Carol how to confidently infuse your sensitive essence into your brand in a very authentic way that will make you highly attractive to your dream audience and deeply connect to your soulmate clients. We'll also discuss how to authentically express yourself, your true nature, your identity online, tips to conquer your fear of showing up and doing things in a way that feels aligned, in a way that is uniquely you. So grab a notepad and pen, my friend. There's a lot of wisdom in this episode, and I'll be back with you at the end to say goodbye. Hello, Carol. How's it going? Welcome to the show. It is beautiful to have you with us today. You are so welcome.
Thanks, Paul. I am excited about chatting to you today and lovely to hear your voice, your accent. I'm from South Africa, and I just love hearing and speaking to people that are from all over the world as well. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Oh, me too. You have a wonderful, wonderful accent. I love the South African accent. It's beautiful. So we're so lucky to have you here today, Carol. You are such an incredibly experienced designer and fellow introvert. And I would love for you to share with us all a little bit about your story, your entrepreneurial path, because you've got such a wealth of experience. And if you could share a little bit about your story, we'd love to hear it.
Of course. So my story started 25 years ago, and that's a long time ago. I was around, I think, in my early 20s when I realized that I could not work for a boss. I'd been working in design agencies for quite a while and knew that I wanted something more. And everyone completely and utterly was against that idea. You know, you've got a secure job and you've got a career. And I had one client. And I said, that's it. I need to jump off and do my own thing. I started doing a lot of local work, like graphic design, designing letterheads and business cards. And I shudder to think how much I did of those kinds of work. And then my entrepreneurial journey really started around 15 years later, when all of my local work here in South Africa completely dried up for one reason or another. And that's when I knew that I had to make a big mental shift. This is kind of those areas where I think every entrepreneur goes through, where everything you're doing kind of falls apart. People don't really know this, but I worked for a company called Elon's. It's now called Upwork. And it was a chance for me to get online and earn US dollars and to start creating a career doing that. So my next phase was working with on these job sites, which was terribly hard. I basically started designing logos for $25 a logo, and that was took me about 5 hours. So you can imagine how hard I worked. And then next big level jump, which is true, people talk about these quantum leaps. And the next thing was, I cannot keep on doing what I'm doing. When I really had gotten very much into the self-development arena and had done a lot of coaching, I was doing a lot of self-development work, and I knew that what I wanted to do then was to shift my work into working for coaches, making the big decision to say goodbye to the job sites and then find my own identity. And we're going to talk about identity further on. But in order for me to create my own brand, my own identity, and really decide what I want to do and who the clients that I wanted to work with. And this was unheard of as a South African. I think that no one had ever done this before. And I had made some huge successes on these job sites. I think I was third in the world at the one stage, which is a huge compliment. But was it something that I really wanted? Was it something that brought me joy? And that's when you get these quantum leaps every couple of years, maybe 5 years, maybe 2 years, maybe 20 years or 10 years, we don't know. Something pushes you into that next mode. So I was very fortunate to know exactly the kind of clients I want to work with, how that would be, how I would support them in their branding. And I created a entrepreneurial journey that was just for myself. No one told me to do it. I just knew that that was how I had to go. And this is, we're going to talk about introverts as well in business, and where we really just trust our instinct and our gut. So we have these incredible gifts that we don't realize we have. So this is where you find me. I'm now still in South Africa. I work with a lot of amazing coaches from all over the world who are incredibly inspiring. They are startups to, you know, eight-figure businesswomen and business owners. I'm so lucky to be able to support them in their branding, as well as seeing the personalities behind the brand. I think that to me is extremely fascinating, because I get a chance to obviously present them and reflect their essence. But I love seeing how they have journeyed on their entrepreneurial journey. And that excites me so much, knowing that 3 years ago, the people that I'm working with now, who are supporting millions and millions of people, 3 years ago, they were living in Bali, earning, you know, $2,000 a month. That's what excites me as much as the branding.
Wow, what a story. It's so beautiful to hear how you've grown and evolved. And I'm really getting that you've listened to your intuition a lot. You followed the flow and the signs. And you obviously, I can hear you've taken a lot of brave decisions to get to where you are today, from starting out designing logos for $25 to now supporting 6, 7, 8 figure entrepreneurs, helping them connect and grow their brand globally. Incredible, Carol. Absolutely incredible. We are going to divide this episode into two parts, because I think this is going to be really, really helpful for everyone listening. So we're going to really dive in deep into identity and the struggles that we have as introverts, empaths, sensitive people. And then in part two, Carol's going to really show and explain how you can start to inject your sensitive identity authentically into your visual branding. So everything feels really cohesive and natural, and just like a really true expression of who you are. Coming back to identity, I'd love to share a little story, Carol, because I'm always fascinated speaking with other introverts about how you begin to recognize at an early age, or just little points in your life where you're like, I'm a little bit different to other people. So for me, I think I was about 6 years old, and it was the first birthday party that I ever went to. And I remember driving up to the house and getting out of the car and seeing, we must have been a little bit late because there was already a load of kids there just tearing around the place. They've obviously been, you know, on the sugar for an hour already. They were going for it. And I remember just freezing up completely. I just like was clinging to my mom's legs, kind of hiding behind them. And it was such a visceral sensation of like, oh my God, it's totally overwhelmed. And I remember my friend's mom coming up and saying, hey, you okay? And I sort of sheepishly just gave her the present for the birthday kid, who just zoomed by me kind of waving. And I just remember saying to my mom, I need to go home. I need to go home. I can't stay here. I distinctly remember hearing another parent saying, oh, the poor guy, he must be shy. And on the car journey home, like just processing all of those things and that little phrase of like, oh, he must be shy. I was like, well, what does that mean? And it's this early, early visceral memory of me being different. Why didn't I fit in there? Why couldn't I tear off with the other kids and have a great time? And I keep coming back to the story lately. It's strange. You know, I know we always have these little points in our journey where it kind of takes us down a different timeline. And that's one of my earliest memories of associating with, now in hindsight, an introvert identity, feeling quieter and shy. What does shy mean, right? But anyway, that's how I felt. And these are the moments that really start to shape our life, you know? So I'm curious, when did you start to notice or feel that, okay, I'm a little bit different to people around me?
It's a good question. And I didn't have a specific moment like you did, where you realized there was a word like shy or different, but it was more like a evolvement of that understanding. It came through my swimming. I used to be a highly competitive swimmer when I was a lot younger. Swimming really appealed to me because it's very much a loner sport. You jump into the pool and you swim up and down for hours and hours. It's almost like a meditation. And I didn't go to get-togethers or birthday parties that much because I was always in a swimming competition. So I was able to then use that platform as a way to really be with myself. It's really a sport that's all about yourself, your times, beating yourself at something. And I think that to me realized that I was very much, I wouldn't say I'm not a team player, but I don't like the team sports. I don't like going out into big shopping centers. In fact, my body literally will shut down. I will get migraines. I literally can't handle it. I get overwhelmed very quickly. So all of these signs are pointing to something that does show my difference. And how ultimately can I use that to my benefit? So with swimming, I can use that to my benefit because someone who is not an introvert would want something more team sport or wouldn't like the alone, so much alone time that swimming has. So I've used that to my benefit, and I've also used that in my design work. A lot of the time I'm spending on the computer alone. I don't work in an office environment. I obviously talk to people on Zoom, but it's very limited. So I'm able to nurture and grow that different side of myself in a way that's beneficial.
Absolutely. You've been able to really embrace your introverted nature from quite early on in life, it sounds. And that's really beautiful. I don't really hear that often. So I'm really happy to hear that you fell naturally into that. Now, for entrepreneurs, it's so challenging expressing who we really are online. It just triggers so many fear centers in our mind. And being comfortable, I think, with who you are, being comfortable expressing yourself as a sensitive person. Obviously, that's something that we cherish the most, to be able to just be who we are. So it is so challenging for us to maintain that balance, authentically feeling like we can just be who we are, say what is on our mind, express ourselves, feeling that pressure to conform or fit into an extroverted world. When I started coaching, I felt so much pressure to act out of who I really am. To the extent where people were close to me were saying, Paul, like, that's not really you. I don't really recognize you in that stuff. And that was really troubling for me because I couldn't see it. And so it's so easy to start losing the essence of who we are. And I think for a lot of business owners, that becomes the disconnect then. That kind of becomes, well, why aren't clients coming to me? I think because we have to connect with people on such a deep, authentic level, there's this energetic disconnect. And for me, and I know a lot of my clients, and there's a real issue around being visible and maintaining, I think, your energy and privacy as an introvert. So I wonder if you'd share a little bit around your experiences of showing up and just being in that extroverted ecosystem that we have to be in online.
You've raised a couple of points, and it's a great conversation, I think. For me, I think it's important for all of us as introverts to kind of have this rebel side to us. In other words, I choose not to conform, and it's okay. I choose personally not to do dancing videos on Instagram Reels. Not because there's anything wrong with that at all, but that is the most basic way I can share an introvert versus an extrovert. An extrovert is comfortable with sharing a lot more publicly online. I just don't have that energy to do that often. It's not so much that I don't want to share myself or be visible or share my life, because I love sharing. I have a unique life. You know, I live right on the water. I love swimming with the dolphins. I have a houseboat that I know that people globally would be interested in. In other words, I'm not doing it out of any other reason to connect authentically with someone. But I choose not to do that. So I'm also realizing that for me, my visibility comes in waves. I will realize that for 2 weeks or 1 week, I'll be online and I'll be promoting and I'll be having fun and I'll be authentically doing that. And the reason why I'm reiterating the authenticness is that we have to be authentic in our connection. If it's not authentic, people will pick that up on some level. There's some kind of energetic connection. So if I'm not feeling aligned right now to post something just for the sake of posting, I won't do that. Like I said, I'm going to reiterate, doesn't mean there's anything wrong with doing that, to stay visible, to stay connected. But if I'm not feeling it, I just won't do it. And that's that rebelness in me. I'm finding that I can still connect to the right people because they will still feel my vibration, feel my energy, and be a part of my audience in a way that is natural. I mean, I want to just reiterate as well, I've always been fully booked in my design business. I know that designing might be different to coaching, someone has a coaching practice, but ultimately I've always been fully booked. And I'm realizing, how did I do that as an introvert, knowing that I'm not doing what everyone else is doing? I'm dabbling here and there. But however, when I do that, I do it with such a naivety in a way, and an innocence and a gentleness, that people do connect with me, the right people do. So the truth is, you don't necessarily need a huge audience. Maybe you just need a small audience of people that really connect with you. And I'm not saying that one or the other is right, but what is right for you and your business? Some people might need 1 million followers, right, for whatever they are selling. But maybe all you need is 2,000 really connected ones. That might be it. But I know in my business, I have been so lucky to connect with the right people by putting out very little online. And how is that possible? And that's what's made me to delve deeper into my branding. What is it about me that I can really share that's authentic without being someone who I'm not? Because as an introvert, you don't want to now conform to what society tells you what to do, because you're going to fail that. It's not going to be authentic. So I spoke about the waves, for example. So sometimes I'm feeling I want to do more and I want to connect more, and sometimes I'm not. So I know as an introvert, I need to batch content or create videos. If I'm feeling excited or energetic that day, why not spend a couple of hours or 2 hours creating little videos that I can then batch out, so I can keep that authentic energy alive. But I do feel it's a huge thing. How can you remain consistent is the word. Consistent level of branding and identity as an introvert that flows with your energy levels. Mm-hmm. And some people, I imagine, don't want to do anything. But that's when things like your website might work for you. You can have other ways to go around that. You don't necessarily have to go live. You can find other ways, like yourself. You are doing a podcast. Doesn't mean you have to go visually live online or IGTV lives. You can impact people profoundly by just using your voice. So we can find ways to do that. And I find ways to connect to my audience, I think, with my love of the outdoors, of South Africa, of swimming with the dolphins, becoming a skipper for my houseboat, right? That's got nothing to do with branding what I'm supplying, but I'm branding myself as someone who is different, and they get to know me and like me and trust me. As a roundabout way, the most important thing with being visible is the purpose to get people to know, like, and trust you authentically. It doesn't have to be posting 2 or 3 times a day. Maybe 2 or 3 times a week is more than enough to make that you tick the boxes of the people will know, like, and trust you and authentically connect with you.
Beautiful. I really love this technique that you've kind of developed of working in waves. using your energy when it feels right. I think that's so key. I love that so much because it's just working naturally with who you are. And the more that we're talking here, Carla, I'm really just getting the sense of that you've really become to own who you are at a long, long time ago. And you've been working just very in this beautiful flow in concert, in tandem with your natural energy. It's so refreshing to hear. This concept of coming into the body, and I feel actually a little bit energetic today. I feel like I would like to share something. Going with that is a beautiful thing. Whereas if you are feeling a little bit just not in that place, that's okay. How can you then flow with that type of energy? Maybe that's more of like a writing energy or some admin energy or whatever that is. It's not fighting and judging. It's like, oh, well, I should do these reels or videos because everyone else is doing them. And if I don't do them, my business is going to suffer. I know that's like a little mindset trap that I got caught in a few times. Whereas, well, okay, if I don't feel like doing that, if I'm going to do it begrudgingly, my energy is going to totally translate in that way too. It's ultimately just not going to be worth my time anyway. This is a really key point of like, how can you be working with your sensitive energy rather than fighting it? Working in waves, going naturally is so beautiful. I don't think I've heard people talk about this that much. So I think it's a really, really wonderful point. And the second thing that kind of came to me when you were saying is really owning who you are and not feeling like you're talking about this kind of rebel side of you. Well, I'm not going to conform for you. I'm not going to change who I am. I really, really admire that in you, Carl, because for me, and I'm sure for a lot of listeners, there's so much pressure and so much conditioning around, well, no, you have to conform. You to be successful online, you must do this just like everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas what I love what you've done is like, I'm going to just go with what I'm here to do. And by doing that, people will connect with me regardless. Mm-hmm. So coming back to, well, what are your gifts? What are your strengths, your areas that if you just concentrate on them, people will connect with you because you are expressing yourself from that place of inner truth and people will deeply, deeply resonate with that. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's quite a revelation.
You're welcome. I think the most important thing is that introverts suffer most from is overwhelm. It's energetic overwhelm, our brain overwhelm, because we like to overthink things and we're highly sensitive and double guess and second guess and triple guess. So overwhelm is my biggest enemy. And if I know that, then I can work with that. So then going from that, the next thing is you really have to protect your energy, right? If you're in overwhelm and you know it's from lack of energy or lack of renewing your energy, then you really need to protect that energy. It's vital. And the way to do that is to really trust yourself. And it's not easy for some people, but trust that by being nonconformist will actually align with the right clients. In other words, as introverts, we will kind of naturally be drawn together because our energies match, right? The extroverts will naturally be drawn to each other because their energies match. And that is the biggest thing, to trust yourself and that the right kinds of people will pick up on that. Another thing is really just don't compare yourself to anybody else because you're not anybody else. You have such a beautiful, unique character and gift and message that you have to believe that what you're saying comes from a genuine place of essence. So I personally don't watch other designers a lot. It's a choice because I know I will go down that rabbit hole of being comparing to others and I should do that. Oh my gosh, she's doing that. Why aren't I? I know that that rabbit hole is very close by at any given moment. So I have to guard that. There are boundaries. And you know, as an introvert, you have to have those boundaries. But the most important boundary you need is with yourself, not with other people. It's not other people you need to worry about. It's yourself. And doing the right things that you know that protects your high level of living and energy source is yourself.
Fantastic advice. Oh, you've hit on so many beautiful points there. Protecting our energy, setting clear boundaries, and making friends with ourselves to really cultivate that self-belief and trust. I think that's something that comes up a lot. Not being able to trust who you really are, trust your decisions, you know, stick to your guns on these things. I'm wondering, what kind of practices have you done to like really take care of your own mind? Because you've spoken about, you know, how it's you, it's all comes back to us, you know, and protecting our energy, doing the inner work to, you know, keep us from going down these little rabbit holes of comparison, of judgment, of all those primal fears that kick in. So I'm really curious to hear, what are some of the things that you like to do to really drop into to that deep connection with who you really are?
That's a good question. And I wish I had more practices to share with you, like yoga or meditation. And I don't. But one thing that I do, which you might find interesting, is that I like to swim in cold water. So you might think to yourself, how does that correlate with what we're talking about? So just bear with me for a second. So we boil down to mindset. It is about mindset. How do I have a strong mindset to not go down that rabbit hole, to know that I'm worthy, whatever I'm doing? How do I have that strong self-belief and self-trust? And the reason why I say cold water really helps is that when you swim in very cold water with no wetsuits, you have to have a strong mindset to do that, because everything in your body and mind and cells saying, get out, you are going to die. This is not right. Okay, so you're going against the grain of what you think your body tells you to do. But you know that there's a deep, deep peace when you get into that cold water and you just relax your body. And that takes mind control and body control, knowing you're not going to die. And it's the most beautiful, refreshing feeling ever. You cannot think about anything else when you're in cold water. You can't think about your to-do list. You can't think about, oh my gosh, I forgot to email that person back. You are in, almost call it ground zero with your mind, absolutely pure, pure nothingness, which is really the depths of going to do meditation, I'm guessing, or yoga practice or something along those lines, right? Everyone has their own. But for me, being able to overcome that mindset of, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, I compare myself to others, I use my swimming in order to help strengthen that mindset, because I know if I can swim in water and I can do that and I can stay there for 10 minutes and it's very cold, I've done something that day that really connects to my soul, and that I'll bring into my work. So when I start to get overwhelmed, I'm able to then more easily pull back and say, I refuse not to. Of course, there are times and I'm not perfect and I will fall down that. And it's a matter of just bouncing back and just spending a bit of time away from the computer, perhaps doing something you love and just enjoying nature. But I'm finding that any kind of practice that you have with yourself, that you can really connect deeply with yourself, whatever that is, whether it's playing with your children, taking your dog for a walk, taking photographs, just to connect with your mindset and really believe and trust in yourself. And therefore, you shouldn't go down that road of comparing or wanting to be like somebody else or judging yourself. There's a sense of just inner peace, which is really what I think you're asking. How do we find our own inner peace so that we can thrive as entrepreneurs, but also thrive as human beings and really nurture our empathic nature? Because as introverts, we have such an incredible empathic nature. So the one set thing is talking about, how do we not judge ourselves online? But what about, how can we use our time on our own to really be guided to the right things? I also believe fully that we shouldn't be being busy for the sake of being busy. As an introvert, you should, if you connect with yourself enough, you will know what to do in order to get the maximum results. So for example, 20% of some of the effort you put into your business gives you 80% of the results, right? I try and work my life to 20% aligned, energetic, gut instinct. This is what I need to put out today, and I will get 80% of the results. And I do. I don't know how that happens. I might just decide at a whim, I'm going to send out my newsletter to my audience today and know that just by doing that one thing, I've created 80% of perhaps my income of that month versus spending 80% of that day composing a reel, selfies that look gorgeous. If you don't feel like doing that today, trust you, use your empathic nature to know the right kinds of actions to do today that will give you the best results. And they don't have to be overwhelming. If you feel yourself heading off into the overwhelm, then you need to just step back a little bit and say, what am I doing? Because I know that I'm doing something that I saw someone do and I'm wanting to copy that somehow. Or I'm giving myself the you should conversation. So what about becoming a really rebel introvert, right? And just listen to yourself. What if today, if that's one of the big takeouts from this podcast, is what if you just decide for the next, just today, listen to your instinct. What does it tell you to do? What is your inner wisdom saying? And I can guarantee that those little whispers, the more you listen to them, they will become bigger and bigger, and you will make that action that will touch the right person that needs to hear you and want to work with you without a doubt. And those are the people that you do want to work with, the ones that absolutely love you for who you are without having to be somebody else.
I'm blown away by everything that you've just said there. I think we could end the episode right there, right? I think you've covered it all. Oh, it's so great. There's just so many things that you said there. I was just like, oh, so beautiful. I really just like feel it in my body. Like when you're talking about the cold water swimming and that deep, deep connection to just like surrender to the environment and just come back. It's such a beautiful metaphor to how we can connect with ourselves in those moments of fear and just release and come back into knowing who we are. Finding your own way, doing this thing on your own terms without that pressure to just say, well, what if I just do it as me? Because there's so much suffering when there's a severed identity. Very sensitive, empathic people, but we feel that we can't be that on the outside. It's very, very troubling. Whereas they're coming into that, like a practice, like where you're doing with swimming or meditation or whatever it is for whoever's listening, we all have our different ways of deeply connecting to our soul, our intuition, our source, whatever language you like to use. It's from here, that deep inner wisdom. It's given us all the answers. So for people who are listening, you're like, yes, I'm ready. I want to start showing up a bit more like me, start injecting my uniqueness, my sensitivity into my business, into my brand visually. So what the world sees is a true representation of me. So when soul clients see you, they feel that deep inner connection. So maybe you can explain a little bit about identity and visual branding, like how to start successfully injecting your essence into your brand.
The most important thing is being able to, first of all, be clear on who you are and what you are. It's not just a case of let's start in your visual branding and colors and logo design. There's always an in-between stage where you have to get clear in what sets you apart from others. What is your essence? And I am able as an empath to be able to intuitively find that in someone. So I help them on that journey, but you can still do that on your own as well. So someone who's an empath or an introvert might have a branding or visual branding that's slightly softer. Their colors might be slightly muted, for example, than having big, bold, bright colors that might be more aligned to a extrovert. As an introvert, you can ask yourself, what are the things that I really want to be known for? And what will connect to other people? And they don't have to be many. You can choose one, two, or even three. So for me, it would be the water connection. So part of my branding, it has got nothing to do with what I do for a living, but it helps connect people because I know that other introverts also love nature. And a lot of the people that I actually work with, there's a huge majority. We call ourselves mermaids, for example. It's a little joke. It's not a big deal. It's just something that people know about me. So if it's my birthday, I know that all of these people online will send me mermaid pictures because they know I'm swimming. They know I like going to swim with the dolphins. They know I like the water. So that's become part of my brand. You might say that's crazy, but what happens if you have something similar in your brand and your life, but you're just not sharing that? And it helps the authentic connection. It helps with the branding in that it can be visual branding. I can use those colors visually in my work as well. I can use that on the clothes that I wear for my photo shoots. I mean, for example, I have a client at the moment and she is a relationship coach for Alpha Woman, which is a phenomenal niche market to be in. Her whole aesthetic, her home, her clothes are natural colors, warm, soft lighting, a light glow. So there's a gentleness about her, but yet she wears red lipstick and every now and again she'll have these red nails. So in other words, she has this gentleness to her and a beautiful introvert, but she still has that strength to her that we all have as entrepreneurs and as introverts. So you must combine the more gentleness with something that is pretty solid and able to help people really trust you as well with your brand. So you don't want to be too airy-fairy in a way, right? You still need to have that solidness and basis. And that I always do with my clients. So in other words, marketing my introvert clients visually, the designs are a lot softer, a lot more flowy, a lot more aligned to their nature. And your brand is just an extension of who you are inside. So the more you know who you are, the more you can dress like who you are, the more your home will look like who you are, the more your brand looks like who you are. It's all going to match up. I mean, I'm even noticing a lot of the clothes that I'm wearing is very much kind of like island living, like as if I'm on the beach, as if I'm on holiday. And that's because one of my core power words is freedom. As an entrepreneur and as an introvert, find out what words really mean something to you. And then really embrace those one or two words. So let's not complicate things. Let's take branding and strip away everything and make it the most simplest thing. What is your vision for your life? What do you want more of? And you don't have to make it complicated. I just want more freedom, more fun, more alone time, right? I'm going to be honest with you. More and more alone time, walking on beaches. That's who I am at my absolute essence. You know, you had that epiphany when you were 6 years old going to a party. Mine was, you know, playing in the water, realizing I am at my boat, my most joyful, being in the water on my own, playing limitless, weightless. That's my play, right? And if you can pinpoint and really acknowledge that little child in you and bring that child back into your branding, why not? And you can make fun of it. It doesn't have to be serious. It doesn't have to be anything. You can actually play with that. Use that in your marketing. Laugh at yourself.
I think the playfulness is so key, isn't it?
Exactly.
We take ourselves so seriously. It's a great way to sort of defuse the ego and the fear as well, I find. It's definitely something I advise, you know, around bringing playfulness and curiosity in. It's something that just that little bit of lightheartedness can help us get over ourselves, I guess, and move on.
Exactly. And I think personally, that is most magnetic to your audience than highly curated video edits, perfect lighting, perfect images. There's nothing wrong with that. I also love that and adore that in my clients. But what happens if you can just be a little bit more raw?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to have that mixture, isn't it?
Have that mixture.
Yeah, you can have your beautifully shot images, but just to capture you in the here and now as well, no matter like what's in the background or the lighting, you know, just capture that in the moment is so, so powerful. Once you start overthinking that and you try to take that photo again or say something, it's gone, it's lost. It kind of reminds me of like when I was recording, I used to be a recording engineer and like recording bands. It's like in that first one or two takes is where the magic and the essence is. And then after that, the ego and the minds just take over and it just gets worse and worse and worse. It's almost worth just like saying, just stopping for the day sometimes, you know? because it's gone. Mm. It's gone. There's just, it's very ephemeral, but it's somehow there's this pure expression. And once that happens and you can capture it, then even if it's a bit rough around the edges, it's just beautiful in its essence. And even sometimes I listen to like some old recordings or things like that, and you'll hear these weird little noises, or something might be out of tune or something like that. But you just don't even care, because there's something being transmitted there that if they had decided to record it again, it would not be there. There was a capture of a moment in time.
Yeah.
I know a struggle that I had when I'm beginning to really fully express myself, bring out those little parts of me that I really want people to get, because like that's just who I am. And if people can get that, then we're going to have great conversations and they're going to be great clients. And I know that we can really connect deeply, and especially doing the mindset work, that's where that is so, so important, having that deep connection with people. So I'd love to know what kind of mindset blocks or fears come up maybe for your clients that, okay, I want to take these photos and they're maybe going to be a little bit out of the norm, or people are going to start to see me in a different light. What kind of comes up? Because I know for me, I definitely had a little bit of fear around, oh, well, my friends and family are going to judge me. And I know that we both work a lot with women, and especially spiritual women as well, and, you know, lots of others, people who really want to embody and express themselves, maybe speak about things or express themselves in a way that might be a bit challenging for some people as well. That can definitely, I think, bring up this fear of, okay, well, I want to take, you know, some pictures that represent that side of me, but I feel blocked. Do you have any advice, or have you coached, I guess, in a way, your clients through some of those resistances? Because you know that actually these are the images that you need.
I have. I've coached a lot of my clients through this, and I suffer from this as well, as you can imagine. The whole thing is, you know, who am I? I'm not good enough. Who am I to put myself out there? Because what will people think? It takes that one comment out of 1,000 to say something that will actually spin us out of control, which is very relevant to today's society, and we're all online. But the one thing I try and diffuse that whole mindset is to really get clear. So before I do anyone's branding, the first thing I do is get really, really clear in what you are doing and why you're doing it. So, for example, I went to the hairdresser the other day. Now you might say, okay, she's a hairdresser. No, she's not a hairdresser. What she really does is make people feel beautiful. So if you can connect to that in your business, so what do I do? Do I design logos? No, I don't design logos. I help people connect to other people so that they can reach a bigger audience. That's what I do. I do not design logos. So the first thing I do is to make sure that person that I'm working with knows what they are doing and why they're doing it. And yes, then I help them understand that it's about their audience. You are just a very small vessel in helping that message get through to a bigger, wider audience and raise the consciousness of the planet. That's really ultimately what all of us entrepreneurs are doing. We're helping raise consciousness, wealth, personal development, peace, love. Yes. Ultimately, it all falls under one big umbrella. And when you really get that, it's got nothing to do with you. You are just the person that is a vessel for that to happen. It becomes easier to have those photographs taken. It becomes easier to get online when you realize it's not you. You have a message. The message is the most important thing. You do not need, like you said, with your sound engineering, you want that message to be simple and very raw. It does not have to be curated perfectly or look perfect. But the intention is the one thing that needs to come across. If your intention is pure and honorable and you are connected to your essence, you are the most magnetic brand out there. You do not need a website. You do not need a branding visuals. You do not need a sales page. You just have to be charismatic in a way that is authentic to who you are and really believe in what you are doing is right for others. If I'm selling you something on social media and you can feel my passion, you will buy into that. You will know that what I'm offering you is going to better your life somehow. You will buy into that. because you'll get a big sense from me that it's not about me. It's not about the money. It's about you. I'm doing it for you. And that's the big thing about entrepreneurship and what I really want to, you know, help more people with. It's not about the money. And when you realize it's not about the money, it's about the cause. You become the most magnetic brand out there. And yes, website does help. Sales page does help. Branding does help. But they are just there to support the message. They should never be more important than the message.
That's very eloquent, Carol. I adore what you've said there. Coming back to who you are, what you're here to do. It's very simple, but it's a beautiful, beautiful reminder. Because we get so swept away with all the noise, all of the egotistical boxes that we've got to tick, all of that desire, all of this glamour that's out there. I call it glamour that we get swept away in, this sort of delusional world that we are definitely swept up in. Coming back to that soul mission that really helps you step back and say, okay, it's not about me. This is not about Paul. This is about the work. This is not about Carol. This is about your mission of love and raising consciousness. Mm-hmm. That is the essence. And when you can really drop deeply into that, fully connect, believe, and allow that, it is a challenge. I'm not just saying this because I see so many people online just say, oh, just do it. Just listen to your intuition. Just do this. And like, well, come on, if it was that easy, we'd all be blissed out and doing our favorite thing, right? We need to offer solutions. We need to offer practices or tangible ways of tapping into that. If you don't have that, it's so easy to get swept up in the shoulds and the comparison, and you get ultimately disconnected from your identity and your core true soul purpose. I think it's a beautiful message what you have, coming back, just deeply listening. What am I here to do? Okay, I feel that now. How do I express this? I'm here to serve. I'm here to raise consciousness. It's quite a trip for the ego, I think. This is the eternal battle that we have between our ego mind and our intuitive soul mind. It's that, okay, I really want to go and write this incredible piece today, but what if I'm judged? What if someone disagrees with me? It's the work, the inner work, whatever that means to you, to be able to disconnect even just for that second so you can follow your soul path. Where do you get your inspiration from, your creative inspiration? Because I'm fascinated about the artistic process. I am fascinated about how artists take information and turn it into something beautiful. An exact representation of what your client desire. How do you take someone's essence and how do you turn that into this beautiful, cohesive, unique brand?
That's $1 million question, and I wish I could package that and sell that. It comes so naturally. So I obviously speak to my clients. The one thing that it's very important to me, I make sure that I'm connecting with them visually. I want to see them on Zoom and I really want to connect with them. When they've given me all of that information, there's a time in between, a literal blank canvas. And how do I start working with that? So they give me hints as well. They do give me hints. And sometimes they don't see themselves as well as I can see them. But the most important thing, and I've got to coach myself too, like, Carol, you can do this, right? You've been doing this for 25 years. I promise you can do it. Because sometimes I get very intimidated by the magnitude of some of the personalities that I work with because they are phenomenal souls. And I feel, who am I to help them do this? How could they have chosen me? I'm not good enough to do this. It's a big battle sometimes. I'm going to be honest. I have that. And then I fall into that surrender. The more I'm able to drop with that ego and be an open slate. It's like I'm a clairvoyant sphere, I'm guessing. And I can get lost in 2 or 3 hours creating an incredible mood board for them, which is the basis of their branding. I don't start doing branding without that because it really solidifies their ideas, their thoughts, their feelings into something that is tangible in colors and shapes and form.
Yeah.
And that alchemy from vision into something tangible comes through by me just allowing it to be. It's kind of like a musician. Imagine him, a musician, sitting down saying, okay, I want to write something today. Where does that come from? Is there a melody? Is there an intention? Or maybe that person's going through absolute heartbreak, and that's the only way that energy can flow through is through sounds and music. And they've got no idea if that will be a hit or not, or what it will be received as. But what I know that I can do, I can tap into people's essence as an introvert. I do have that ability to connect to them on a soul level. And I think that's something that I've always been able to do. I think it is a gift of mine. And I think a lot of other designers do have that gift. Hence, they're doing this kind of work, or musicians, or other kind of, you know, sculptors, or other kind of arts-inspired careers. Because we do have an innate ability to connect to people on a level that is not tangible. It's the unknown somehow. And it seems to be that every time I send something, a brand board, to a client, they're like, this is it. You've captured my essence, is the one thing that people say again and again. I don't know how you did it, but you captured my essence. I'm going to go back to anyone who's listening, is to really trust yourself. You have that ability that I have. I just acknowledge it. Yes, I do have that ability. The more you trust yourself and say, I can do this. I know I can. I am really good at my gift and my soul purpose.
Yeah.
And really believe in yourself, because the more you believe in the self, the more that gift can be created. So I pick up on certain words that people say as well. So they will tell me who they are without realizing it. As in a coaching sphere, sometimes just being quiet. And I know you said, Paul, yourself, sometimes you are just quiet and you allow the person to speak. And sometimes that's the best gift to be a coach or a mentor, is to just be quiet. And in that space, that person will tell you things about themselves that maybe they don't even realize. But their soul is talking to you, but you have to have that clean space. You need to surrender, like you said earlier, drop down, stop any kind of egotistical thoughts. Mm-hmm. I am a complete empty vessel when I'm confronted with the client. And I do think that introverts have the ability to do that. That's why they make great designers, artists, great coaches, because they have the ability to center themselves and be completely still. You know, like that being in the cold water, and in that moment you are just being. If you can connect to that being of nothing, that is where the most power and inspiration comes from. A lot of creativity flows through that. And it doesn't just have to be in design. It could be maybe you're needing a new strategy for your business. The best thing to do is get away for a weekend and not think about it for a day or two. And I'm telling you now, on that Sunday night, when you could be having a shower, it'll come to you within an instant. Your whole strategy, within 2 or 3 minutes, you've got it and you'll write it down. Versus sitting at home, watching webinars, watching seminars, asking friends. My biggest advice to anyone is stop, 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 stop. Absolutely do nothing and stop.
Yes. Yeah.
You've asked for the inspiration. If you just let that train stop, it will all come to you. And you have to trust yourself. You have to open up that channel of inspiration so you can serve your clients in a much, much deeper way. Mm. It's not about you. You have an incredible gift as an introvert. And the world needs you. The world needs to work through you so that you can see people for who they are and really support them into their growth and their expansion into the world.
So fascinating. What I'm really feeling from this is dropping into the senses. And I think as an artist myself, from reading about other great artists, I'm not putting myself in the great artist category there, I'm just sorry saying that, it's the sensuality that comes through in a lot of work, like tactile, in sculpture, there's psychoacoustics and music that pulls our senses into it, from joy to grief to whatever. And I think in all great art and design, it hits our senses, you know, in great writing as well. When we listen to story and there's something there that will make us weep or laugh out loud, it's those innate senses. In the egoic mind, when we begin to overthink, we tend to bypass all of the senses. It's very cerebral, and that deeper level is bypassed. So one thing I like to advise people is just to bring in the invitation of, instead of thinking, we're coming into the feeling, the more bodily senses. And you've also hit a beautiful point around introverts. We're such great listeners. We can hold this space and allow people to express themselves. It's so important that we don't project our ego into their vision. That's something that is not for us to do. And it's a very tricky thing not to say, okay, I know best. It's actually listening and allow it to work through you. Like you say, you're kind of like a conduit for this energy. Whereas I think if we're in that egoic mind, we'll be interrupting people every 2 seconds. Well, actually, I think you actually should use this color palette because this represents this type of energy, and so on and so on. Then the actual essence of what that person really wanted just gets completely diluted by our ego. Especially for coaches out there, this is such an incredible lesson to be able to just hold space for people and just deeply listen without waiting for your chance to interject. Just allow it to be and come back into that, into the senses. How does it make you feel? And I'm really interested when you hear these powerful leaders, these women that you're working with now, they're speaking from this deep place of authenticity, and how you begin to match color theory and lighting and composition to really express that boldness, the sensuality in them. So if you have a few little nuggets of wisdom that you can maybe share around choosing a font family or a basic color palette, that it's not random, is it? Once we have identified the essence, the senses that we want to hit upon, choosing those tools to accurately express that is key. So say I am starting my brand, Carol. I'm an introvert and I want to work with women to help them embody their true nature and bring that into their business. How would I begin to start? Even just like the mood board that you're talking about, because that sounds like a really great place to start, right?
So the first thing I would suggest is for people to go and head off onto Pinterest. It's an incredible platform. That person can drop in and then put images together. It could be images of their nature. What color nature? Where about in nature? Put in some textures or backgrounds that they might like. How about some different fonts or font families? So you'll find that whenever I've done this and I've asked my clients to do this exercise, the same theme comes up all the time. And they don't realize at the time. They'll say to me in our first initial meeting, I've got no idea what I like. I don't know what I want. So I'm saying, okay, that's fine. Giving them the platform to create a Pinterest board, the same things will come up. And actually you start thinking and writing things down. And now you start thinking visually. How do I feel about this picture? If it's a sunset, I love sunset walks. What kind of sunset? What kind of colors? What kind of fonts? And I'm telling you, every time there is a beautiful synergy of the fonts that that client has come up with, they are being told in some level, they are matching the frequency of their essence to the essence of something that is visual. Colors, shapes, fonts. Most introverts have a handwritten font, and there's different kinds. There's something that looks quite bold. There's something that looks like quite airy and fairy. And you'll find that one that you like. You'll be surprised how much you have in you already. You just need to uncover that, right? And then it's my job to fix that up. It's my job to get those ideas and solidify them and expand on them and make them gorgeous. But I'll take from my client those nuggets, those little bits of things that they like. So for example, it could be a spiritual coach, for example. She might really love prayer beads or crystals, but what kind of color is it? Then you're unsure and you're looking for a rebrand. Try Pinterest. Just spend a little bit of time away from your desk. Go into an environment that's more softer, maybe a take it into a living room or a coffee shop where you're not at your desk and where you can really drop into your core that we've spoken about, and then relook at that brand without looking at your old brand. So just put those colors aside, put that font aside, put everything that you've been doing for a while, because people expand personally on such a level that their brands have to reflect that. So energetically wise, we are not the same as we were 5 years ago. You might have had a brand done for you 5 years ago, or you might have done a DIY brand for you for yourself, because that's kind of, you use those colors because everyone else was, and everyone was using that font. So I decided to use it. Let that all go. Become that open vessel for yourself that we know you can be, and find those energetic alliances with some visuals. My job essentially is just to take away all the crap and find that essence. It really is. That's all I do.
You're the filter.
I just filter all of that stuff that you are not, because all the stuff that you are has always been there. You've just packed it full of things that you are not. So it's just about letting those things go so that you can have that essence.
I think it's really important.
So as advice, I wouldn't suggest more than two or three color tones, not more than two or three fonts. Keep it simple. The first thing I say to anyone who's looking to rebrand, take away all of those fonts. You do not have them. The less your brand has all of these stuff on it, the more elevated it looks. So if you look at brands like Nike or Gucci, it's just a black type on a white background, for example. It's brought down to the essence. So first thing you do is take away all of the stuff, all those little itsy bitsy, oh, I thought that might be nice to put more in. We try and overcompensate as a brand.
I love this. Yeah, this is like this subtractive kind of mindset. It's like negative space, isn't it?
Negative space. And introverts will be attracted to something that is more spacey. Yeah. So I can guarantee my home or your home, Paul, is probably very simple and clean. And we don't have a lot of stuff. My desk is very tidy and organized because it makes me feel safe. So what about having a brand that is very minimalistic and very clean and comes down to that raw essence? It will elevate your status like you have got no idea.
At the core, this essence, it's beautiful, elegant simplicity. Again, I'm going to use a music analogy here from my old days when I used to mix albums and songs. When we would record, we would record every single idea. But when you've got to mix something and make it really energetic and engaging, there's a lot of time where you have to mute things or just even delete things to make space. And there can be an attachment there. We think, oh, well, no, I put all this effort into creating this, so now people have to have it. But again, this is a beautiful link of coming back to like the greater mission and like what you're actually trying to express. You know, you could leave that piece in there for your own ego, or you could take it away and make the song better. The same with it comes to like visual imagery, where it gets very noisy and very hard to distinguish, like, well, what is this person about? Because it's so much going on. Taking away things to actually accentuate the best parts, really. I would love to hear a little bit about rebranding, because you mentioned it there, and I know for some of the entrepreneurs listening who are at that higher level, who are stepping into a new part of their career, they're moving forward, I'd love to hear how you approach a rebrand. Because again, I can imagine the mindset is like, oh, well, this has worked to get me here, and there's, I'm sure, a lot of mindset blocks around that. So I'd love to hear briefly how you approach, say, a rebrand for a 6 or 7 figure business.
When people are ready for rebrands, more often than not, they came into this entrepreneurial arena with a very broad outline of what they're going to be doing. A business coach, for example. But as you go into this more and more, you realize that you are niching down. You're fine-tuning your craft and your message. So it ends up being very specific. And when people are wanting to rebrand, it means that they've outgrown their old brand of something that's more generic. They're wanting something more specific. A business coach that's now only working with women who are over a certain age, we fine-tune that niche. And when it comes to rebranding, we want to make sure that the brand is speaking to a newer audience. So we then adjust our messaging slightly to make it more aligned to where that coach is. And with the branding as well, like you said, we get down to that core essence. There's a taking away of all of that stuff that they are not. And rebrand is essential because if you're wanting to up-level your business, you're wanting to up-level your packages and your prices as well. And in order to create an audience that's going to pay for those packaging, you have to have a brand that is looking absolutely gorgeous. You really have to. And I love doing rebrands because I just have to, again, take the essence of what the person's brand was in the past and get rid of everything else. So it's very similar. But I find that a lot of people start with their branding and they'll do it a DIY brand. And they realize they can't do that for much longer. It's not meeting their needs. And actually a brand that is done DIY or you've outgrown it is actually doing disservice to your brand. I would rather say take that website down right now and say a coming soon page. Because people might see you on social media, might absolutely love your energy. They head off to your sales page that's outdated or you've done on something. They go to your website and it's total disconnect. And when you have that disconnect, you've lost the client. The client is not going to go and pay for you or your services. So I would say if you have such a disconnect from where you are now, who you are being, to what is on social media, and there's a big disconnect, there is no continuity, no consistency, stop that. The investment that you make on branding is minuscule in terms of what you will get from actually rebranding and being able to repackage your offerings at a much higher price point. You will get a much higher quality of clients, people who are ready to pay for that kind of in-depth and niched service that you're offering. It excites me. You can see, you can hear from me, my voice. I actually am so excited about rebranding because it's the one thing that you know will get a huge return on investment. Absolutely and utterly. You can't stay there any longer. It's just if you've outgrown your brand, you can feel it. And the one thing, Paul, as well, is that most people, my clients say, they don't feel confident. And if you don't feel confident online, no one is going to buy from you because it's the one most alluring quality you can have having an online business is confidence. If you have that confidence and people buy from you, but if you don't love your brand, you're not going to be confident in selling yourself. And that's where the problem lies in. So the longer you leave a rebrand, the longer you're leaving money on the table, and the longer you can't help the people that you want and create the impact that you want in this world. If you feel your brand just doesn't feel like you, look like you, has the right energy, then please do something about it. The results will be absolutely phenomenal. You have no idea. And you will become magnetic beyond measure, knowing that you've done, created a brand that's aligned with your energy and your essence as well.
Wow, that's such an in-depth view on how to create a rebrand. It's fascinating, Carol. So much to consider, but ultimately I think the message that's led through the whole of today is like coming back to your essence and who you are and deeply connecting. And when you can do that and fully express that, that's where the magic really is. So I like to wrap up every episode with a little reflection and takeaway. And I think I've already kind of said it. It is coming back to really trusting in that beautiful introvert sensitive identity that's there. Just coming back and really trusting, owning it. And I think there's an air of playfulness. And also I like your rebellious nature of, no, I'm not going to dim my light. This is what makes me special. And I'm going to really own it and embrace it. I think you're just an incredible example, Carol, of what can happen when you do take that exquisite risk, that leap of courage to say, I'm just going to do this on my own terms. So those are some beautiful takeaways that I've had from our incredible conversation today. So you are an absolute inspiration, Carol. People are going to want to know much more about you. And I'm sure after listening to you, they're like, oh my God, Carl, we need to talk because my brand needs you, please. So where can the listener get in contact with you? Where do you like to hang out online?
I'd love to hang out on Instagram, and people are welcome to reach out to me there. I offer branding, rebranding. I offer mentoring as well for branding and business strategy, which I absolutely love. And I have a package called Brand Your Voice, actually, which helps you get clear on what your messaging is, because you can't really start a brand without getting clear on your messaging and what sets you apart. And it ties in very significantly with what we've been speaking about. And that's something that's only $37. It's not a big investment.
Oh, wow.
I really do want people to be able to know who they are and really shine that light. And it helps just solidify what your messaging is, because once you've got that messaging, you have the confidence to expand. And then in the future, and I think by the time this podcast has been released, I'll have a program that I'm going to be launching, which is called Essence. Believe it or not, we've used the word several times. Mm-hmm. And it's basically exactly what we've spoken about. It's about how, as entrepreneurs, can we get to the essence and core of who we are and really market that in a way that has the maximum impact with the least amount of energetic investment from ourselves. Right? Wouldn't that be great? So we can end up doing more things that we love as well as helping other people while protecting our energy.
Wow, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I love it. And I know you have a Canva social media product.
Yes, it'll be on my Instagram as well. So it's 50 Canva templates that are beautifully curated, designed, especially for people like ourselves that do not want to spend time having to show up on social media all the time. We can kind of, it's done for you. And the designs are light, soft, geared very much for the softer energy of an entrepreneur that really will actually stand out amongst all the noise. Mm. I still firmly believe that our eyes will always go to something that's cleaner and softer and lighter and warmer. So these Canva templates are designed for that and perfect for coaches, launches, because I've been working with coaches for so long. So I know exactly what they need in order to launch certain things in a way that's easy, less overwhelming. I'm all for that. So anything that I can do to support people with that journey, the better.
Fantastic. Yeah, go and check that out. That's a wonderful, wonderful bundle that Carol's put together. I've seen it. It's so high end. You're getting, like, you know, an incredible design mind and a plug and play thing. You put it into Canva and go. It's really, really efficient, but you're going to get this elevated brand already. So if you're someone who wants to take that first step in kind of having a more cohesive brand, I would urge you to go and check that out. And yeah, all of these will be in the show notes too. So Carol, I want to just extend huge, huge gratitude to you today. This has been just one of the most wonderful conversations I've had for a long time. And for you sharing so openly your journey, your expertise, and it's just been really inspirational. So I want to deeply, deeply thank you. And I look forward to learning more from you as our journey continues.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul. It's been an amazing platform for me to share. And I'm so happy that you have created this platform for entrepreneurs and introverts to shine their own light and really accept and excel at who they are.
Thank you so much, too. And like, you are the embodiment of that. And it's been an absolute honor to have you here. So wishing you well, Carol. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend, for listening. I truly appreciate you being here. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. And if you really love this episode, please share on your Instagram stories and tag me so I can personally thank you. And I invite you to help this community grow. You can do so by rating 5 stars and leaving a very short one-sentence review wherever you get your podcasts from. It'll really help the visibility of the show and make it much easier for more sensitive souls to find it. You can grab some free meditations from me by going to pauljoggins.com, and you can learn a little bit more about my unique mindset work there. Finally, I'd love to connect with you on Instagram. You can follow me and I'll be sure to follow you back. And I'd love to learn a little bit more about your journey. In episode 2, I'll be speaking with Alexia Usgard, who is an incredible feminine leadership coach. And she's going to help you begin to conquer your fear and step into your next level leadership. So if that sounds great to you, I'll look forward to welcoming you back on the next episode. If you'd like to be in with a chance to win a 90-minute coaching call with me this month, all you have to do to enter is simply share this episode in your Instagram story, tag me, it's Paul Juggins, and tag three other friends in the story who you think would really love this episode too. I'll be drawing a winner at random at the end of the month, so good luck.